for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, November the 29th, 2008. This is a memorial service for Dr. William Knoll.
I first met Doc in the kitchen one morning after Sister Mazander, who most of you don't know, who would be here if somebody had gone and got her. She's a real prophet of the Lord. She had her 100th birthday this year, but she lives down in over in Malvern with her boy now. The police took her car away from her one day last year, but she came early one morning, about 1983, I think it was, and she found this man sleeping under the stairs out here in a sleeping bag, and she poked him and wanted to know what he was doing there, get up and come in the kitchen and help. Well, she just stood there waiting for him to get up, but she didn't know that he had his pants off and he was in this sleeping bag. Oh, he was trying to put his pants on inside the sleeping bag. And then Irma come along, and then later I met Doc in the kitchen. Oh, that's how we met Dr. Knoll. So he's the first person who ever slept under the stairs of this building. And then that night, he's the first person who ever slept in the building. It wasn't finished upstairs yet, but he made it to a room he took over of the upstairs, and he is the first person to sleep here. Now, how did he get here? Well, he met a man, Joe Williams, up in Kansas, that lived with Irma and I off and on quite a while for about 5 years. And he met Brother Joe at a home meeting, and Brother Joe told him that he needed to get down here and get delivered. Now, he wasn't sure what that was, but he came, and I don't think from that time that he only ever missed two camp meetings from that time until the time that he went to his heavenly reward in all those years. And then, to start with, why, he needed a lot of help. And I'm serious. And one day, he was sitting about that third or fourth chair there on the end, I don't know which one, and Irma walked by and put her hand on his head, and I won't say what she said to him, but she said, "Come out of him in the name of Jesus," and began his road to deliverance. But that day, he ended up in the middle of the floor of the aisle here in his own vomit that we had to clean up, and he had to go change his clothes. So that's how Doc came to be able to understand and to be able to deal with the hundreds of people that he's dealt with here at the campground and other areas of the country as well. And when he first came, why, I used to, Kevin and, Skip. But before Skip. Anyway, they used to come down here and have morning prayer meeting. Well, then, one time when camp meeting started, why, we started having morning prayer meeting. And then I did that for a while, and Gavin helped. When Doc started coming, I said, Doc, that's your job now. And so Doc took charge of the morning prayer meeting, and he did a wonderful responsibility of the morning prayer meeting. There's been hundreds of people that have been helped in the morning prayer meetings here. And we intend to carry that on. And Tom Stone has taken up the basic responsibility of that with Don Andrews and the girls there and Richard helping, because it's more than one person can handle praying for everybody that comes to the morning prayer meeting for prayer. And it's wonderful that you do. So that's a little history of Dr. William Null. Then he always told me, he said, when I retire, I want to come and move in that White House. So I said, okay. So one day he come and he said, such and such a time, I'm retiring. Is the house available? I said, it's yours. So he moved down, and I don't know where everything come from that's in that house. And neither does Ashley. Because it's fallen on Ashley's shoulders to try and sort it out and do something with it. But, and then the Lord laid on him to write the book on rejection, which is a blessing to hundreds and hundreds of people, and will be in the years to come, to help in that area of their life. Actually, that book has lots more in it than just rejection. It really is a catalog of deliverance as well. So, and you know, it will be a blessing to thousands of people in memory of Doc. And he was working on another book, and Ashley thanked that he might be able to squeeze in between all of his other responsibilities and maybe somewhere in the near future complete it. So that, but that'll be because Ashley carries a great load of responsibility for the, I don't know who all he's, but he does. And for the Episcopal Church, the branch that has decided it's going to follow the word of the Lord. And I don't know what you have to do with the Church of England, anything with that. And I'll not try to give you Ashley's pedigree, because it's longer than I can remember. And he is not concerned that I do that either. But the Lord has blessed him. Wonderful heritage that he has, and a wonderful privilege to represent the Ashley family in the kingdom of God. The Null family. So, Ashley, come and have the rest of the service. When it's time for communion, we'll have to do that this morning.
My father was both a physician and a preacher. He had one son who was a physician and one son who was the preacher. Guess which one I am. May we begin with a prayer. Father, we would see Jesus today. Father, we would hear Jesus today. Father, we would love Jesus. Can you all hear me now? In the middle of a Thanksgiving camp meeting, it's appropriate to take a morning out and give thanks for the life and ministry of William G. Null, Doc. After all, he made attending camp meetings here to see people set free his highest priority for the last 25 years. And it was, as we've already heard from Glenn, the ministry of this camp that shaped Dad's life as a Christian. It was the ministry of this camp that brought him personally so much relief from the power of sin at work in his life that everybody back in Salina, Kansas said, "That's a changed man." One of the pleasures in the midst of the sobering task of sorting through a parent's effects is coming across things you didn't know. There was a big picture of a limestone stone house, which is indicative of western Kansas, where I grew up, where Dad practiced medicine, and had been given to him by his colleagues, his partners in the practice. And they all knew about Dad's deliverance ministry. And on the back of it, they wrote, "To an esteemed colleague and good Christian brother, the only thing that would make acceptable what Dad did to his colleagues was the quality of his Christian life every day, realizing that that ministry had changed him and made him more like the God language we all talk about, but so often don't exhibit." And it's this camp that introduced him to the power of deliverance. And of course, it was this camp who first enlisted Dad into the Army of Deliverance Workers. They didn't just stop with putting him in the kitchen. You put him to work here after cleaning up his mess, helping him have others clean up their messes. I know what Dad's, one of Dad's favorite lines when someone was a bit embarrassed about their vomit on the floor. "Been there, done that too, honey. Don't worry about it." And it's here at this camp, particularly at this camp meeting, where Dad ministered the most. It's here where he learned the understanding that he imparted in the rejection book. And it's this camp that has agreed to continue distributing his book so future generations will benefit from the wisdom that he learned and imparted here. So for lots of reasons, it's appropriate this morning to take time out and give thanks to God for the gift that he gave us here at Lake Hamilton of Doc. Now, one of Dad's favorite sayings was, "Every day is a good day with Jesus, because some days are better than others." Ever heard that? Well, September 10th, 2008, I must confess, was one of those days that was just good. Although Dad had struggled against his cancer for quite some time, although he had been gravely ill for the last 3 weeks of his life, although his passing was not necessarily unexpected, when it came, when it finally hit, when there was no doubt that Bill Null was really gone from this world for good, that Jesus had softly and tenderly called him home for the last time, I think we can all say we've had better days. No more would we hear his stories of adventures in the Alabama swamp. Anyone heard swamp stories? No more would we expect to see sandals worn into the sanctuary and then carefully and delicately put under the chair because the sanctuary was holy ground. By the way, although Dad had his usual three-piece suit on when we buried him, we put his Birkenstocks on. But that day became clear. His quiet ear to listen to a personal problem, that wouldn't be here anymore. Nor would his hands be ready to pray for a hurting heart. Nor would we ever hear his pungent, sage words of advice freely flowing. When the harsh truth hit that we would never see, hear, or hold again in this life, that very special medical doctor and preacher of the love and truth of Jesus Christ that was Doc Well, as I said, I think we've all had better days. So in the midst of our loss, we're gathered here today to give thanks for God for the life and love that was William George Knoll. And of course, to give proper thanks, you've got to describe what you're thankful for. But how in the world do you try to accurately describe an American original like Bill Knoll? This is a man who was a swamp rat who took great pride in being an accomplished hunter, trapper, and fisherman. First for his own pleasure with his boyhood friends on the Tom Bigbee in Demopolis, Alabama, the Alabama swampland, and then for generations of boys helping them to become men through the Boy Scouts in Salina, Kansas. He was a distinguished pediatrician, beloved by generations of patients and honored by his peers as the first ever Humanitarian of the Year in Salina, Kansas. A devoted family man whose home, office, and even his hospital room was filled with pictures of family, both immediate and even more distant cousins, who took great travel and pleasure in traveling all over the country to various family reunions. At the funeral in Demopolis, we had second and third cousins that my brother and I had never met, and who had never met each other, but Dad had met them all and came together. It was, I'm sure that family reunion brought Dad great pleasure. And he was an ordained Pentecostal pastor, ordained at Brother Jack's church. And as my brother said, how do you describe Dad? He loved to tell the story. He loved to tell the story in casual conversations to complete strangers, from pulpits around the country, through his books and tapes, and through his ministry of prayer here at Lake Hamilton and other places. As a man whose loving heart, he knew how to make and keep friends, and it greatly surprised me as I went around Hot Springs trying to gather up Dad's effects. His dry cleaning lady insisted on an obituary and was completely torn up that Doc wasn't going to become, because when he said, every day's a good day with Jesus, that just made my day when he came in. I went to the health club to clean out his locker, and the reaction of the clerk was, oh no, not Doc! I can't think of anything more humbling than to wonder, gosh, am I so friendly to people I meet for 3 to 5 minutes a day that they would be brokenhearted at the thought that my 3 to 5 minutes with them wasn't going to happen anymore. Even the nurses in the hospital, even his doctor, they had to be comforted at his passing. Well, then what best describes Doc? Well, I think perhaps a small slip of paper that I found in his bedside table as I was cleaning out his things. It's his boyhood confirmation certificate. And on the back of it, it says, question. Back in those days, to get through confirmation, you had to memorize answers to a whole list of questions. What is your bounden duty as a member of the church? Answer. My bounden duty is to follow Christ, to worship God every Sunday in His church, and to work, pray, and give for the spread of His kingdom. To work, pray, and give for the spread of His kingdom. I think I know why Dad kept that in his bedside table. I don't think anything better expresses his mission, his understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. On the 21st of October, 1945, my father publicly declared that he was going to tell the story of Jesus, and he spent the remainder of his life learning what that meant. It was a journey that would take him deeper into the Bible and the Holy Spirit and the power of God's love. One of the good things about a long illness is that you have the opportunity to reflect on your life. In Dad's case, he reflected again and again on Romans 8. Let me read it to you. It starts at the 14th verse if you want to follow along in your Bibles. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of Sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died and more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God the Father and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's easy to say those words, and it's fairly easy to preach those words, but to have them written on our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, so they transform our lives, so they drive out all fear and all love of false things, to know in our hearts that God's love will not let us go until it has perfected in us the true and perfect image of Jesus Christ. What a glorious inheritance we have. What a glorious hope. As part of Dad's journey in working for the kingdom, he became convinced that the truth of God's word would set people free from the many hurts and pains and scars that come about this life. Anyone here ever been prayed for him by him? Yet the longer he worked and prayed for people to experience freedom and wholeness in Christ, the more he realized a deep biblical truth. He never stopped fighting the reality of sin's power and all the suffering that comes from it. You've seen him steadfast in prayer, praying and praying until release comes to somebody. Yet he came to understand the only way to fully drive out sin, the only way to keep it out, the only thing stronger than our love for idols, is God's unconditional love for us, received through Jesus Christ. That alone, nothing in all creation can separate us from. Do y'all want to know the secret to stop sinning? Anybody here interested in that? I can tell it to you in one sentence. How much do you think that's worth? What can I auction that off for? The secret. Sorry? Mrs. Fox said, you freely receive, so you freely give. Yes. Why do we sin? Because we want to feel good. Because something has made us feel bad about ourselves. We want to self-medicate with lies. And then what do? Once we have sinned, then the devil whispers in our ear, look what you've done. How completely worthless you must be. How could you be so, God can't love you. You can't love yourself. Look at you. What a mess. So then what do? We tell ourselves that obviously we are worthless until we go out and prove that we're going to be a better Christian in the, right? So we're going to get all excited by making ourselves feel bad enough because we've screwed up. That's going to give us the willpower to say no next time around, right? Well, let me think about this. I'm going to make myself feel bad so
I'll be not tempted to make myself feel good.
Does it work?
Do we do it?
All the time. What's the one thing that saves us from the trap? Loving God more than loving sin.
You want to know the answer to stop sinning? You want to know the answer to keeping your deliverance? You want to know the answer to being the kind of person you want to be, that God wants you to be? It's very, very simple. Just love God more than sin and self. Now, isn't there someone who's going to raise their hand and say, there's only a little problem? That sounds real good, don't it? But isn't that the most fierce battle? To love God more? And isn't that where Satan attacks? Shows all the struggles in our life, all the disappointments, all the loss, and says, if God really loved you, you wouldn't have to be going through this. It's either because you've done bad and you deserve all this pain, and then God don't love you because you ain't worth it, or He just don't love you because He just don't like you. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? We know God loves us. But you know, there are times when the waves of despair and doubt and darkness sweep over, and we lose sight of a lighthouse, and we begin to let those lies inhabit our mind and begin to try to erase the promise of Romans 8, the Spirit has written on our hearts, and we lose track, and we leave behind the love that sets us free. The more Dad reflected on the love of God, the more he realized how far and how often he had fallen short in showing Christ's unconditional love to others. It's always that delicate balance to make clear the piercing, good, convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And in patience with people, expecting them to be farther along than Jesus himself does. And getting the balance right. And the more he realized his shortcomings, the more he grieved at his own unworthiness, and the more he rejoiced in the good news of the grace of God and his unconditional love for him. And the more he saw the difference between what he was in his heart and what Christ in his heart was, the more determined he was to try to be more active, proactive, in showing his unconditional love to other people. I think one of the reasons of Dad's trips, and he tried to take lots of trips his last year, was to be with people and to let the unconditional love of God be the final thing they heard and experienced from him. He wanted that truth, that it's the unconditional love of God that comes into our heart and pushes out all the lies, that's our hope and wholeness. It gives us the strength to stand in the new life that we are given through the blood of Jesus Christ. He wanted that to be his legacy. And I think many of us are richer for his attempts to show unconditional love. So today we are gathered together here in this place to give thanks for the life of love that was William G. Moore. I am sure that there are many people here that could come up and do what Tammy did. Talk about how his father's love for them was eye-opening to the power of the gospel, of what Jesus is at work in this world to do. And I'm afraid if we turn the mic open to everyone who wanted to share a story, that not only would lunch be burned, but perhaps dinner as well. So what I'd like to do is two things. I've left a book back at the back table for people, if they wish, to write in their favorite memory of Don. So his great-grandchildren will have some idea of the man and his ministry. And secondly, I'd like to take a moment now and pause and let each of us in our own hearts think about the love of God that flowed through Dad into our lives, helping the Holy Spirit write that promise on our hearts, that nothing can separate us from God in the blood and love of Jesus Christ. if you are a newcomer here and all of this is very strange, then think about someone in your life that has shown you the unconditional love of God. Maybe it's the person who invited you to come. But let's each of us think about what we have to give thanks for. That Jesus, not only is He alive, but He's alive in human people, and He uses the body of Christ, individuals, to let us know and experience His unconditional love for us. So I'm going to sit down for a couple of minutes to give you some privacy, each in your own heart, to reflect and give thanks to God for His wonderful plan of making His love known through real, fallible, flesh, earthen, blood, human beings like you and me and Doc. And all the people said, Amen. Once again, let me encourage you, if you have the time and a special memory, to write it in the book that we'll keep and cherish in our family. And I want to point out and give thanks for Carol Hesselwitz's attempt to make a reminder of the thankful, grateful, and blessed experience that we all have known for the ministry of Doc here at camp. Well, I can just hear my dad's voice saying, Son, it's not about me. Because of the richness of the love that we have received from God through Doc, we've also come together as a body not only to acknowledge our loss of that love, but to ask for comfort and solace from the God of all hope and strength. For with Jesus, today will be a better day than that day back in September when we heard of Dad's coming home and heaven's gain and our loss. For the God who loved us through Dad is still here. That God is still working through people today. God is still alive at work here in this camp. People are still being ministered to, still being blessed. And as one chapter closes, and as Dad has received his heavenly reward, it is our responsibility to do what he did, which is to follow Jesus and to see what God has for us and how he will be working through us to share with one another and those who aren't in the sanctuary, those who aren't in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, to know that saving, transforming, unconditional, ever-present, ever-wooing power of the love of God revealed on the cross of Jesus Christ. We encounter afresh Jesus' love for us every time his story is told, every time his people come together, every time his name is invoked, every time we remember his love shed on the cross in bread and grape juice. Jesus himself is here today in our midst, and he will truly comfort us with the power of his ever-present, eternally ongoing divine love for us and working through us. You know, that's pretty good news, don't you think? But I have one bit of even better news. God's love has not left Bill Null in that casket buried in the ground in Demopolis, Alabama. I can just hear my father say, Ashley, that's not me in there. That's just an empty earthly shell of a used up temporary tabernacle. Ashley, I'm with Jesus. At last, I'm tap dancing in rhythm. I'm singing on key. I finally found a choir that would take me. I can just see Dad, you know, so surprised to hear himself sounding good. Dad is with Jesus, and Jesus is with us. And therefore, we will soon celebrate one of the most profound mysteries of our faith. Dad is dead to us, but he's alive to Jesus, and Jesus is alive to us. And through Jesus,
We are linked in the mystical spiritual body of Jesus Christ that endures for all eternity. According to Anglican teaching, and I'm still an Anglican, in Holy Communion, we ascend by faith to the very holies of holies. We have the privilege, as the sons and daughters of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, to be admitted to His very presence. That we praise God in the midst of angels and archangels and of all the company of heaven by faith. And now that heavenly company includes William George Knoll, a sinner of God's own redeeming, now come into the glorious inheritance reserved for those who die in Christ. As we partake of communion, we will dwell in Christ, and Christ will dwell in us, and the Holy Spirit will take those visible signs of bread and grape juice to write afresh on our heart by His Spirit that we are loved, that we are redeemed, that we are set free, that we are chosen, that we are eternally sealed as God's children because of the love God has shed upon the cross and the faith that He has put in our hearts by which we know and love Him. And when we have communion, we will have communion with Jesus and with each other and in some way that defies explanation with all of Christ's body. That includes William George Knoll. Therefore, when Carl comes to preside over the Holy Table, let's not look just for solace, but also for strength. The whole point of Holy Communion is to cut the covenant afresh, to remember the source of our hope and love is that we are loved unconditionally. Therefore, let us be determined to love others like we have been loved. What's the secret to stopping sinning? Loving God more. What's the secret of loving God more? Knowing that we were first loved by Him when we had no right or hope to be loved. That's what communion reminds us. That's what we ask the Spirit to write on our hearts, changing us that we, despite our foibles and weaknesses, might be used by Him as living instruments to carry the message not only in our lips but in our lives, that there is a God who loves unconditionally through Jesus Christ and through the followers of Jesus Christ. My father wanted love to have the last word in his life. Let it be so for Dad, and let it be so for us. Let us love like God's love. Let us love like God's love, like God loves, until heaven and earth pass away, and that we for all eternity will see all tears wiped away, and the only thing that will remain is the joy and the felicity of knowing that we are loved and seeing how powerfully we can love, that we are made once again whole in the image forever of Jesus Christ. May we, like William George Knoll, live, love, and die in the certain hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I just want to emphasize something. And thank you, brother. You really shared your heart. And my heart is touched. Your chip off the old block. I love you. There are things that go on in life that we don't understand, and sometimes we stack them up instead of letting loose of them. And Paul warned in 1 Corinthians about taking communion unworthily. And if you have any issues that you need to get rid of, someone's hurt you, whatever it is, we're just going to take a second. I want to read what Apostle Paul said. And then what I request is just again, we're just going to get quiet for a minute and sort it out. Please. This is a deliverance and a healing camp, And I have never seen a greater time of healing and deliverance than when communion is taken in the heart that the Lord Jesus Christ intended when He had the Last Supper. And one day He's going to come back and drink wine with us again. All right? And He's waiting for that day. He's waiting for the Father to say, that's finished, the works of Satan. But in the meantime, let's get rid of the works of Satan in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, He took bread. Don't be distracted. Jesus Christ was not distracted, and He knew full well what was coming. So let's not be distracted, okay? Little children make noises. Praise God. That's our future generation. Don't let that distract you. Don't let anything distract you. It says, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner, He took up the cup. When He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Not remembering the beat up and the broken, but the accomplished. Remembering the price that was paid. And I do things a little bit different sometimes. And I request that you bear with me. When we take of the communion, let's do the grape juice first, okay? Because it represents forgiveness. And if it wasn't for sin, we'd never have a problem. All right? So let's take that washing of the blood first. And I won't get into it because everything's been so well covered. But I just want us to take a moment, and if there's anything that you have against anybody, just leave it, okay? Even if they deserve it. Forgiveness is giving up our right for revenge. Amen? And so just let loose of it. Just let loose of it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bow your heads, please. We submit to You. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only way we can really submit to You, and in that love, and we release all these anxieties, we release all these unforgiveness issues, even the ones that are hidden that we don't understand. Father, we give them to You. We cast all Your care upon You because You truly care for us. And in the precious name of Jesus Christ, I ask right now to just cleanse us. And let us be free that we truly can receive this communion like it's the first one we've ever had, and that it can really do its part. And we praise You, Father, that as we take this communion, that we can be free. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we receive Your forgiveness, and we forgive. Amen. Just sort your mind out. Just a second. Just sort your heart. Please, this is so important. Let's all do this together as one body. And Clement Humbard, where is it? There you are. Would you please bless the grape juice?
Father, in Thy presence, we believe these truths. We believe in these symbols and this ordinance Thou hast given Thy believers, Thy little children, to remember Your death and this precious shed blood. Without that incorruptible blood, we have no forgiveness of sin. We believe that You conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that You are the way, the truth, and the life. Bless this sacred symbol with reverence, respect, and soul searching. Bless this fruit of the vine, a symbol of Thy precious blood shed upon Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. received it. And in the name of Jesus Christ, drink and receive forgiveness, cleansing, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're so clean right now. Folks, this isn't magic, it's real. That wasn't Jesus' blood, like some would say, but it represents it. It really was shed for us. Praise God. Ashley, you're standing in for your dad here. Would you please bless the bread?
In the night before he died, he took bread. And when he broke it, he gave thanks, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Well, Father, we come before you to do this in remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection, that we might overcome the enemy of Jesus and of your work in this world by his blood and the word of our testimony, as we partake of the bread broken for us, representing Jesus' body. Give us strength to believe in our hearts the truth of your love and transforming power in us, that you might use us as agents to overcome the world and to bring your kingdom to pass. Make us instruments, Lord, of your love and peace, because of and bring ever closer to completion the good work you begun in sending Jesus Christ as the Savior, Redeemer, and King of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Get this little wafer, really chew it up, all right? Really chew it up and take it in and let it heal. Fibromyalgia, you're not going to be there anymore when you leave, sister, all right? And any other sickness that we have, just chew it up and receive what Jesus done. Amen? And he's up there laughing with Dr. Null, saying they're doing it. Amen?
Brother Clement has asked me to add one final comment. So there are so many. You know, the nice thing about having a string of degrees is you realize how much you don't know. And one of the profound mysteries that I don't even attempt to try to plumb the depth of is what it means to be part of the body of Christ that stretches before us and after us. But we do. Scripture tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us, and that those who have gone before are now part of Christ's body. And so in some sense, they are still interceding with Jesus for us. So not only is Jesus still here in our midst, working through us to make a difference, those who have gone before, including Doc, are following with Jesus and interceding for us and for those who will come after them. So the prayer ministry that was birthed here continues. That is the solid hope we hold in Christ, that time is only of this world, and the time is coming when time will be no more, and the circle will be unbroken. And those that are ahead of us are praying with Jesus, interceding and making sure that there is a place reserved for us in that circle. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, God bless all of you. And it's an honor to share the Lord's Supper with each and every one of you. And in eternity, we'll be reminded of it many times, I'm sure. But please, just receive that healing virtue from those silly little crackers. They're not what does it. It's taking the time to acknowledge. I've been having trouble ever since my accident with my legs having strength. And they're tingling so much right now, I can do the boogie. Praise God. If you expect it, you're going to get it because it's promised. Amen? And I want to say goodbye because Sheila and I have to get on the road. But I love you. And please continue to pray for us. And this is just a blink of what eternity is going to be. You know, when we come together, like we come together here, there's such a love that the physical body can't handle it, all right? But it's available. This is only a taste. It's only a taste. We don't know, you know, we're all going to be gone from here in a couple of days, except the staff and Glenn. But we don't know if on this earth we're going to get back together, all right? It's nothing to fear. It's to anticipate God working in our lives.
Dad once said that he wanted a New Orleans-style funeral. He didn't mind the weeping on the way to the grave, but he wanted people praising God and singing and shouting, tap dancing, singing when the saints go marching in. Now, that was a bit too staid in Demopolis. Not staid, but it'd be delightful. That's what we're going to do here. So I'm going to bless the food, and we're going to have two good old-fashioned down-home celebrations that William G. Null has received his reward, and he is in bliss and is waiting there praying for us and welcoming us when the day comes when we will hear Jesus say to us softly and tenderly, come home to be with me forever. Let's pray for the food. Please stand. Heavenly Father, in a hungry world, we thank you for the food we are about to receive. In a lonely world, we thank you for the fellowship between us. And in a world darkened by human sin and selfishness and the power of the enemy, we thank you for the light, love, and blood of Jesus Christ in, around, and on us. Amen.
This world is not my home. I hear the passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my when the march around the throne, oh Lord, I want. marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
One feller marching. I guess we just got one saint. Gerald, lead them out again. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.